to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Emma Mills with the Occupational Health Clinic. Today we're talking with Mark Young, one of the occupational health nurse practitioners, and he's here to discuss heat-related injuries and how to recognize the symptoms. So Mark, tell me, what precautions would someone take to prepare for going out into the heat and working?
Preparation and prevention are the keys to dealing with heat injuries. First, you have to remember a heat injury is a cumulative event. It normally takes about 5 to 7 days for the body to adjust working in a hot environment. During that time, repeated exposure to heat can build up the effect and have an injury several days into it, not just from a single day's event. So the first thing you want to do is gradually build up your endurance or your exposure to working in a hot environment to allow the body to adjust or acclimate. The next thing is to remember, when you're working in a hot environment, take it slow. The body is facing an increased workload to deal with the heat stress. Slowing down allows the body more of a chance to adjust and adapt to the hot environment. Third, need to know and recognize the signs of heat stress and heat injury. Headache is often one of the early signs of heat stress. Other signs of heat stress can include heavy perspiration or sweating, a rapid heart rate, and shallow breathing. Not only being aware of these in yourself, but use the buddy system. In the work environment, watch each other. The early signs of heat stress may be more evident to a coworker than to the individual who's having the heat stress. When working in hot environments, dress appropriately. Light-colored clothing will reflect heat. Clothing that is breathable will increase airflow, which will allow more heat radiation and evaporation to cool the body. Recognize that certain types of protective gear or protective clothing may increase heat stress and the risk of a heat injury. Fire department or EMS turnout gear for police officers, body armor, ballistic vests, any garments that are made of a synthetic weave that is tight and doesn't breathe, anything like that can place a person at an increased risk for heat injury. Hydration is a big point. You cannot simply depend upon being thirsty to deal with the heat. General guidelines are a person working in a hot environment should drink one glass of water every 15 to 30 minutes. There is a caveat on that if a person is under fluid restrictions or electrolyte restrictions due to health problems, they should consult with their healthcare provider to deal with making a plan to adequately maintain hydration. Avoid alcohol and over-the-counter medications. Both of these can affect the body's ability to regulate heat, increasing the risk for a heat injury. And as obvious as it sounds, take frequent breaks when it's hot. That allows the body a chance to cool off. People are going to be more likely to drink when they're taking a break.
If someone recognizes the onset of these symptoms while they're working out in the heat, what's the most expedient thing that they can do to reduce heat stress?
Obviously, the first step is resting, moving to a cooler environment, and drinking. To fully understand, you have to look at the different injuries that can occur related to heat stress. Heat syncope or dizziness, heat cramps, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke. Heat syncope can occur when a person who's not used to working in a hot environment stands erect and still for a prolonged period. The blood vessels dilate, and that can allow pooling in the extremities, which reduces circulation of blood to the brain. This can then lead to dizziness, or in extreme cases, fainting. In the case of heat syncope, lie the person down, and if they're conscious, have them drink cool fluids. It's probably in the person's best interest to be medically evaluated.
I see.
When a person loses large amounts of fluid, drinks water, but doesn't replace the electrolytes that are being lost through the sweat, the reduced level of sodium in the body can cause painful muscle cramps. These usually affect the arms and the legs and the abdomen, but any muscles that are being used or stressed are going to be more susceptible to these cramps. If a person has heat cramps, again, they should be moved to a cooler environment, lie them down, and give them cool fluids or sports drink. Heat exhaustion occurs when the person loses large volumes of fluid and electrolytes. Heat exhaustion is usually characterized by extreme weakness or fatigue, mental status changes, which can be confusion, giddiness, headache, nausea, in some cases nausea along with vomiting and diarrhea. The skin in heat exhaustion is usually cool and clammy. The person is still sweating. First aid for heat exhaustion is, again, move the person to a cooler environment. Place them lying down, elevate their feet slightly, 8 to 12 inches. Heat stroke occurs when the body's ability to cool is overwhelmed. The person is no longer sweating. This can very rapidly lead to an extreme temperature rise. Primary difference between heat exhaustion and heat stroke is the person is no longer sweating.
Mm-hmm.
The skin is usually hot, dry, red, and possibly mottled. The person may demonstrate confusion, weakness, in extreme cases, loss of consciousness, and seizure. The first aid measures are, again, moving the person to a cooler environment, wetting them down, and moving air over them either with a fan or by manually fanning to cool them down.
Mm-hmm.
If they are wearing any of the protective gear, specialized clothing, that increases the heat risk,
mm-hmm.
loosening that to allow air to move over the body, and activating EMS as soon as possible.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that information.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us any comments on this podcast by clicking the Add New Comment link at the bottom of this page. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us link on our website at healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu.